Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? And we are now on the eve of the Final Four. Can you believe that? That's right. It's already Friday, beautiful people. April 5th. 2019. First off, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Friday. A lot to get to. Seeing as though Michigan State men's basketball in a little more than 24 hours will be taking on Texas Tech for a chance to dance in the national championship game for all the marbles in the world of men's college basketball. Spartan fans, I know you're getting excited. You may be getting a bit nervous. For those who are traveling from East Lansing to Minneapolis, please do it safely. Today, we will preview. We will finally dive into the X's and the O's, breaking down who has the edge in this matchup, the Spartans or the Red Raiders. Quite impressive what Texas Tech has done this season. And this will not be, I believe this will not be an easy game for the Spartans. I will explain why. We'll also bring to you a few sound bites from yesterday's Final Four Media Day, which is always a cool event. You know, if you guys follow the Michigan State men's basketball team on social media, first off, props to the Spartans social media team, a team that has been crushing it for a while now. Because you just get great insight and really cool, a really cool behind-the-scenes look. I'm not just talking about Michigan State basketball here, but just Michigan State athletics in general. And, of course, with it being the Final Four, if you hopped over to Michigan State basketball on Instagram, you have seen the videos of the reactions on the faces of players like Gabe Brown and Nick Ward and Cassius Winston when they walked onto the court at U.S. Bank Stadium out in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for the first time. I mean, eyes wide open, jaws hitting the floor. And as we've been talking about throughout the week, it's really a mental trip. When you stare at that basket and you see all of that space in back of the basket, it really plays with your psyche a bit. You know, that depth perception, as they call it, it can throw you off. It really can throw you off. So, you know, Michigan State hit the floor and really had just been embracing what is the Final Four. They've been having a lot of fun. There's also another video out there in which they got hooked up with some Nike gear and the really cool Nike shoes that have a computer chip in them and it conforms to your foot. They all got a pair of those, which is awesome. Then there's a video of them just sitting in the golf cart. I believe it was like, you know, goodness, I think it was Foster Lawyer is one of the players. Also Hoiberg and Connor George. They're all sitting in this golf cart, and they call out Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State QB great, who now, of course, balls out for the Minnesota Vikings. And they said, hey, Kirk, we're in your house, man. We want to see you. Kirk, are you coming? And from what Tom Izzo had to say during his media availability yesterday for Media Day, he did acknowledge that Kirk Cousins is scheduled to be in the house this weekend. He will be there tomorrow night and hopefully gets a chance to speak with the team prior to tip time. So just really cool stuff. And, you know, you're embracing the excitement right now. But, you know, when 9 p.m. hits,
on Saturday night. It's all business. And Texas Tech is not a team that you can overlook. You better believe the Spartans won't do that. So I'll give you my thoughts on a few things to look for in this matchup, and you'll also get my prediction for whatever that's worth, all right? On the back end of the show, it is Friday, and as you guys know, each and every Friday edition here on Current Sports, we chat with the founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Lewis, MSU alum. We'll get his thoughts on the Final Four, and he'll bring to you another tip that you can use in the gym and in the kitchen. We'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour. If you would like to weigh in, give your thoughts and predictions on Michigan State and Texas Tech, do you believe the Spartans will be playing on Monday night national TV for a chance at winning its third national championship in program history? Call in. We want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in at the Facebook live stream, which you can view at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that video. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. Again, folks, Michigan State, Texas Tech. Big shout out to Jack Kerwin behind the glass. We are hitting the road bright and early. Probably around like, I'm sorry, Jack, but probably about 5 or 6 a.m., brother. All right, I'll take first shift behind the wheel. So we'll be out there in Minneapolis, you know, met with our news director here at Current Sports. We're going to do some really cool things out there. Talking to some fans prior to the game. We'll have a really cool Current Sports 2-minute drill for you all. We are going to go live in the car. I think that'd be kind of cool. We'll take some of your thoughts and questions on the game, and we'll give you an update on how the drive is coming. I am not a big fan of long drives. Anything more than 4 hours, I dread. But it's the Final Four. I'll get by, and I got Jack to help with the driving duty, so I think I'll be all right. So I'm going to go live in the car and take your take some of your thoughts at facebook.com/WKAR News, and then, of course, we'll have all things post-game coverage of Michigan State and Texas Tech. Don't miss any of that. Follow our coverage on social media throughout the weekend at facebook.com/WKAR News and on Twitter at WKAR News or at Al Martin, WKAR. But as you know by now, Michigan State, Texas Tech, 8:49 p.m. at Target Field in Minneapolis, U.S. Bank Stadium. Texas Tech, 3-seed, has the highest margin of victory of 15 points compared to the other teams in the Final Four. It will be a defensive battle between Michigan State and Texas Tech. Texas Tech actually is rated as the number 3 scoring defense in all of college basketball. So this will not be easy for the Spartans, and we'll break down, again, in just a moment, some of the hardcore X's and O's and some of the matchups that you are certainly going to want to pay attention to come tomorrow night. All right, Michigan State baseball will play tonight at 6:35 p.m. against Indiana State. Oh, that brings back memories, right? Michigan State, Indiana State, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird back in 1979. But yeah, Michigan State, Indiana State in East Lansing. This will be the first time that MSU baseball will be playing under the lights at McLean Baseball Stadium at Cobbs Field. Those lights were just installed this past summer. The Sycamores are 22-4. The Spartans sitting at 5-21 overall. So, but first ever night game for Michigan State baseball. That should be fun. Michigan State Track and Field will be hosting the Spartan Invitational today and tomorrow. The team is coming back to East Lansing after a meet at NC State. Today, the events are pole vault, hammer throw, and the triple jump. Exciting stuff there as well. All right, the Detroit Tigers won their home opener yesterday against the Kansas City Royals. 4-5 the final there. This brings the Tigers to a 3-game win streak. Pitcher Spencer Turnbull had a career high of 10 Ks in 6 innings to help the Tigers get the win. The Tigers scored 2 runs in the bottom of the 7th to secure the winning record. But how about the Tigers? I didn't expect this start, even though we're only in the very beginning stages of the regular season and they play 1,000 games. I still didn't expect this start for the Tigers, so we'll see if they can keep it up. But the key to this kind of start for the Tigers, pitching. Spencer Turnbull, amazing. I mean, we saw the performance that Jordan Zimmermann had not too long ago. So we'll see if the Tigers pitchers can continue to play up to this level. All right, the Detroit Red Wings finally lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins last night, 4-1. Pittsburgh's Phil Kessel scored 2 goals to keep the Penguins win last night, extending the longest active winning streak. The Wings are still looking to rebuild after this season. So the Wings were hot for a second, but lose to the Penguins 4-1. It will be a tight game tonight when the Detroit Pistons and the Oklahoma City Thunder go at it. Both teams ranked 7th in their respective conferences. Paul George leads the Thunder in points, averaging 28 points per game. Blake Griffin leads the Pistons, averaging 24.7 points per game, but he has been hampered with an injury as of late. And another note when it comes to the Oklahoma City Thunder, we profiled this a bit earlier this week on Current Sports, but Russell Westbrook, I'm still riding high watching that performance that he had over the LA Lakers, becoming only the 2nd player in NBA history to have a 20-20 and 20 game. And he dedicated that performance to, of course, the late, great Nipsey Hussle. All right, Lonzo Ball and his agent, Harrison Gaines, have agreed to mutually part ways. Gaines' first client was Ball and have been together since Ball left UCLA. Gaines started his own agency, Slash Sports, and represents Xavier Thames, Jamal Franklin, Isaiah Austin, and Jabari Brown. But the two have said, deuces, let's end this this love affair. For multiple reasons, which I won't get into right now. But Ball and his agent done. And also, Berkeley Edwards, he has changed schools 3 times. Last season, he transferred to the University of Michigan on special teams. And Edwards will now be trying out as a wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. So trying to make the cut with the Honolulu Blue. But there you have that. Again, a former Michigan football player trying to make the roster for the Lions. Okay, folks, that does it for your Quick Hit Headliners. Again, we are taking your calls. We are reading your comments. We are talking all things Michigan State and Texas Tech. I want you to call in, give me your thoughts and predictions on this matchup. Do the Spartans have what it takes to book that ticket to Monday? Get to Monday for that national championship matchup between the winner of Virginia and Auburn. What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKARNews. And again, you can comment below the live stream, and you can also weigh in on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Oh, boy. Whenever I hear that music, it just gives me chills, man. That brings me back to my childhood, the Chicago Bulls introduction music. You know, always hear Edgar, 6'6", from North Carolina, Michael Jordan. Yeah, that's a throwback bite right there. I believe they still play that at Bulls games. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they still do. All right, folks. We are on the now eve of the Final Four. Also need to acknowledge, man, can we show some love? I should have put this in the headliners. This is my bad. Can we show some love to the ladies? The college basketball women's Final Four is tonight at 7 p.m. You can catch Oregon and Baylor going at it. And then later on at 9 p.m., UConn and Notre Dame will play. So I'm sorry. I got to show some love to the ladies. The women's basketball Final Four underway tonight. So check out that. That'll be a nice way to get you in the basketball mood, now that you need to be in the mood, right? Prior to tomorrow's men's Final Four. But we're getting you ready because, again, a little more than 24 hours from now, Michigan State and Texas Tech will go at it. This is a big game. I don't need to say that. It's the Final Four, for goodness sake. And, you know, when you look at this this Texas Tech men's basketball team, they kind of scare me. Not even going to hold you up. You know, when Texas Tech completely mollywopped Michigan, you heard what I said. I said after that game, I said that this team is a team that I believe can win it all. I didn't know Texas Tech was this darn good, really, until that game. And, you know, props to Chris Beard. You know, what he's built in the 3 years as head of this program is pretty remarkable. This is a team that's gritty and I think is really special. I do believe this Texas Tech team is special. Led by, of course, guard Jarrett Culver. The dude can score. And, you know, as I noted in the headliners, Texas Tech dons a defense that is the number 3 scoring defense in the nation. And they just annoy the heck out of you. They play the passing lanes great. They can get physical with you. They do a great job of switching. So you'll see a lot of switching, of course, when Michigan State hits the floor offensively against Texas Tech tomorrow night. Michigan State loves to run that high screen and roll. And it may give them some problems. And, you know, not to, of course, downplay and underestimate how good Michigan State is offensively. But I believe this will be a defense unlike any other that the Spartans have played this season. Now, you're probably listening to this and saying, Al, what about Michigan? What about the Michigan Wolverines, which actually ranked number 1? In the country, ranked number 1 in the country when it comes to scoring defense. Don't get me wrong, Michigan's defense is solid. Really good defense. But what stands out to me when watching some film last night on Texas Tech and what they've been able to do in the tournament, what stands out to me is how shifty Texas Tech is on defense. What I mean by that is if the ball goes to one side of the court and you try to move the ball back to the other side, whether that be by moving it, you know, around the perimeter or a cross court pass, Texas Tech is really good at not letting that happen. They are really good at shelving off that other side of the court. So pick your poison. If you go right or go left, you may have to run the play on that side of the floor, because if you try to go for a cross-court pass on the other side, more than likely, based off what I've seen on film and many breakdowns, Texas Tech may get a paw on it. And that thing may be turned over, and it may be a turnover for a touchdown. Got to be aware of that. Michigan State, with the exception of the Minnesota game, has done a very good job of taking care of the basketball. But they had 22 turnovers against Minnesota. And you're just, I know Spartan fans, you're probably just sitting there saying, okay, is the turnover bug going to rear its ugly head against Texas Tech this weekend? Because if it does, things could get really ugly. But for the most part, with the exception of the game against the Golden Gophers, Michigan State has done a pretty good job of taking care of the basketball. And we all know, and I'm sure, that Coach Beard is game planning for this, trying to figure this out, even though there aren't many teams out there that did figure this out with maybe, and I still can't believe, I was thinking about this the other day as well. Can you believe that this Michigan State team gone all the way to the Final Four, lost twice to Indiana? That still blows my mind that Michigan State lost twice to Indiana. But somehow Indiana figured out how to frustrate the quarterback of this team, Cassius Winston. That's the key. We all know. You know how to beat Michigan State, but it's easier said than done. Can you slow down Cassius Winston? Because if you can, your percentage of winning increases greatly. But again, that's easier said than done. That's what Chris Beard is trying to figure out now. And can the Red Raiders do that? I just don't know. And again, this Spartans team will go as far as Cassius Winston takes them. Because Cassius, as I've stated, man, he is just smarter than you. He is the smartest point guard. This is what makes him so great. He is the smartest point guard in the tournament. Even when he starts off a bit shaky, he somehow figures it out as the game goes along, and he knows when to take over. It's impressive stuff. So the Red Raiders at 30-6 have really put together, again, one of the most impressive defensive showings in recent tournament history. Taking care of business in the first round, beating Northern Kentucky. And then came that strong defensive effort, limiting Buffalo, really good team this year, to 58 points. Yeah, and then the Michigan game. Holding the Michigan Wolverines, again, they're not a great offensive team. You know, you can praise Michigan's defense all day and night, but they struggle to put the ball in the basket. So when you combine, you know, these two things, the fact that you're going against one of the best defensive teams, many believe, in the last 10 to 15 years in Texas Tech, you combine that with the fact that Michigan struggles offensively already. Well, that led to just 16 first half points for the Wolverines in that matchup against the Red Raiders not too long ago. That's an NCAA record low in the tourney. And then in the Elite Eight against Gonzaga, the nation's leading offense, Texas Tech, forced timely turnovers, got key stops, and ended up topping the Bulldogs. So, this will be a game that Michigan State, offensively, you cannot turn the basketball over. And you have to find ways in pockets, again, to utilize that high ball screen. I really believe that if the bigs don't show up, you know, in Xavier Tillman and Nick Ward, Michigan State can this is going to be a tough game to win. I think that they will, and I'm choosing Michigan State to win this game, but it's going to be very close. And the margin for error is so slim. So slim. I mean, actually, according to KenPom, you know, the Red Raiders lead the nation in defensive efficiency and field goal percentage defense. You know, again, two stats that don't tell the full story of how Coach Beard has created this defensive powerhouse. Senior guard Matt Mooney's defensive efforts on Cassius Winston, that is going to be a big matchup to watch. Matt is if you just watch this young man on film, he's annoying. He plays like annoying defense. He'll put his hand on your jersey from time to time. I saw him tug a few jerseys earlier on in the tournament. He fights through ball screens.
that you know, the defense that Matt Mooney plays on Cassius Winston is going to be a fun matchup to just sit there as a fan of the sport and watch. So, and then you got Jarrett Culver, dynamic scorer, who's really, I think, elevated his game in the tournament. And also, I don't know if I'm saying this right. Maybe we can check on the pronunciation of this, Connor. But is it David Moretti? I believe it's David Moretti. Could be wrong there. Double check on that. Who is a 46% three-point shooter. He's been lighting it up from deep. Almost automatic from deep. David with an E at the end. I believe that's how you say it. Not sure. So this will be close. I am going with, at the end of the day, I'm going with the Spartans to pull this thing out. 69-64, the final. Because I believe that when you look at how the games that you know Texas Tech has lost this season, Connor, the magic number, I think it is at 68, I believe. If you score more than 68 points at or more than 68 points, you're going to win. But this Texas Tech defense, it's so tough to just score in general on them. So I'm going Michigan State to win this thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way. Your thoughts on this matchup, Connor?
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take Michigan State over Texas Tech. And like you said, the number to get to is like 70 points. If you can beat Texas Tech to 70 or to 68, you've won the game. I think that Michigan State's offense is going to have to be a little more resilient with the defensive pressure. But I mean, if they can get things going, I don't think Texas Tech has an answer for them, because if it comes down to trading blow for blow, kind of like how, or even if it goes down to trading run for run, like kind of how we saw versus Duke, mm-hmm. I don't think Texas Tech can match that.
Yeah, I'm with you, but this is going to be a dogfight. You talk about four teams that are physical, that are just a gritty group. You pick the right four teams here, right? I mean, Michigan State, Texas Tech, Auburn, and Virginia, they're all known to get down and dirty. They will get physical with you. They will get downright nasty with you, and they are going to claw their way to a possible win. This should be a fun weekend. Going to be a very fun weekend. So, and I like the fact that Michigan State is playing the late game to just kind of let the emotion sink in. Let two teams play before you to just kind of just see another team out there to just calm down a bit, listen to your tunes, get in that game mode. And there's another psychological effect that I think plays on the part of Texas Tech in this matchup as well, Connor. I think that it could go two ways here, because Texas Tech could look at this and say, wow, we're playing the team that knocked off big, bad Duke, because Duke had so much hype this year. And, you know, even though there were some close games, they still found ways to win against teams like Virginia Tech and UCF. But, you know, you're playing the team that beat the overall number one team in the nation. I wonder if that plays on your psyche a bit. Or you can look at it and say, well, we ain't got nothing to lose. You know, this is Chris Beard's first time ever, you know, coaching in the Final Four. We have nothing to lose. I believe it's the first time in Texas Tech school history that they're in the Final Four. Yep. So you can look at it and say, look, man, we ain't got nothing to lose. We're just going out here and just leaving it all out on the court. So it could go two ways. I don't know.
So that's why I think it's important that MSU comes back and does what they've been doing since, you know, the Minnesota game. Come out firing. The first points of the Duke-MSU game was MSU dunk. The LSU game, MSU started on fire. Mm-hmm. And, that's just really important. And, again, even from, like, the psychological perspective, the Red Raiders are going to come in with some confidence. Obviously, they beat their own one seed. They beat Gonzaga. They manhandled Michigan. They manhandled Buffalo. I mean, I think it's really important that MSU comes out early and gets on a nice early scoring run, if nothing else, to kind of put Texas Tech back a little bit. Because I don't care what team you are, if the other team that you're facing comes out and immediately drops five to eight points on you right out the gate, it's kind of deflating.
It is. And you know what? That brings me back to the Michigan State and Duke start. When was that start? It was a Kenny Goin slam, wasn't it? Right? Yep. That was the first two points of the game. It set the tone.
Off a steal.
And then, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, coming out of halftime, that was also another automatic bucket. Wasn't it like an alley-oop to Henry?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was. But they
come out of the gate strong, and I honestly believe it sets teams back. Like, even if you're a Duke, you're a powerhouse team, especially for Texas Tech. Texas Tech is predicated on offense. Defense. Excuse me. If you come out and you show, hey, I can drop 8 points on that elite defense you have. I think that's a big move for them.
Right. I hear you. Okay, I don't think we have Judy from Perry anymore. I know she was waiting. Judy, if you're listening, call back. We'd love to hear your thoughts and predictions on Michigan State and Texas Tech. And anybody out there listening, please call in. What do you think is the key to this matchup and who will win? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. A few comments are coming in at facebook.com/WKAR News that I will address. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll get to your comments on the other side of this first break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Actually had a listener call in because, you know, I was wondering what the pronunciation was for one of the Texas Tech players who has been absolutely lighting it up from deep. And it's Davide Moretti, I believe, according to one of our listeners out there who says it's an Italian name, obviously. So thank you so much for that. Davide Moretti, he's scoring 11.6 points per game, playing awesome, and he is the shooter for this team. So watch out for Davide Moretti tomorrow night. Again, we're taking your calls and comments. 517-355-WKAR. Who do you think will win and why tomorrow night when Michigan State and Texas Tech go at it? Again, you can also leave a comment at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few comments coming in I want to get to here. Ben says, I think Kenny Goins has a big game tomorrow shooting the ball. I think he's also a big name player who he's a player who has to show up as well. Kenny Goins has struggled throughout this year's tournament shooting wise. But boy, oh boy, did he show up when they needed him the most against Duke. Well orchestrated play in which he was like the third or fourth option. Let it fly. Money gave Michigan State just enough cushion to eventually squeak out that win against Duke. They're going to need Kenny Goins to shoot the ball well. He can't struggle shooting. Because points, and Ben also comments and says, wow, Al, you're going low scoring in this game. I predicted a 64-65 point win in favor of Michigan State. And I think that's because, you know, both of these teams are really good defensively. Points are going to be hard to come by. And you're going to have to execute offensively to a T if you want to put, you know, the ball in the basket. It's going to be tough to score tomorrow night, I believe. And another key, I want to see Michigan State run more. Is it just me? I think Michigan State is at its best when they can push the ball and get out. The thing is, teams know that Michigan State loves to get out on the break, and they've been putting an emphasis on getting back, and that's something that Texas Tech does. But here and there, if you can find a way to catch Texas Tech sleeping and get out on the run and get a few buckets, that will pay off for Michigan State, for sure. Chris says Michigan State is better than Buffalo, hands down. You got that right, Chris. That's why Michigan State is in the Final Four right now. Also, Chris, referring to that first matchup between Texas Tech and Michigan, Chris says Michigan had open shots that didn't drop. Very good point. Michigan did have really good looks in that game. They just did not fall. Michigan could not hit anything in that game, and Texas Tech went on to cruise. Marcel has a prediction. He says Michigan State versus Auburn for the chip. How about that? So he thinks Auburn will end up topping Virginia in that matchup in the first game tomorrow. And also, Chris relays the information that Romeo Langford has decided to take his basketball talents to the association. Romeo Langford headed to the NBA. I did see that news break this morning. So Romeo Langford, the star player for Indiana, has decided to take his talents to the next level. And can I just make a real quick point, Connor, when it comes to this? I remember I had this conversation with Jack. We were at the pep rally early Monday morning, and I was listening to a discussion on national sports talk radio that I wanted to just touch on at some point this week, and I think it's fitting right now after hearing, well, after the news, you know, brought up by one of our listeners out there, Chris, bringing up the fact that Romeo Langford is headed to the NBA. And I had this conversation this morning in the barbershop as well. You know, I've documented all of the money that's flowing in right now when it comes to the NCAA tournament and the Final Four. I mean, heck, my goodness, have you seen the prices of the tickets right now, Connor, to go to the Final Four? Some of them are hitting four digits in the thousands.
Not surprised.
To grab a seat at the Final Four.
Not surprised.
That's how it is every year, right? It's the Final Four. It's the biggest stage in college hoops. But it blows my mind how much money just floats around the NCAA when it comes to March Madness. And I was just sitting there, you know, listening to this this show, and they were just talking about how if you know, Zion Williamson is a really bad example, Connor, to bring up. If you're going to argue college athletes being paid, even though I have used Zion as an example, in reflection, he is a bad example. You know why? Because regardless, if Zion was to play college ball or just go straight from high school to the NBA, you know what? Regardless, Zion is so talented and the NBA is so high on him that he's already going to get his cheese. He's already going to get his money. I think that him having the kind of year, and by the way, news broke right before I hit the air that Zion Williamson has been named as the Associated Press College Basketball Player of the Year. No surprise there. But Zion is so good, and I do think he bolstered what we already knew of him coming out of high school, looking at the kind of year that he had in his freshman campaign with Duke. But Zion was going to get paid regardless. All right, he's one of those rare talents that can go from high school to the NBA. He could have made that leap. He's going to get paid regardless. But the argument for a college athlete getting paid really comes to fruition, really becomes a legit in-your-face discussion when talking about a guy like, let's say, a Cassius Winston. Connor, if I was to ask you right now, at what point do you believe in Cassius Winston's life can he profit the most off of his name and brand? Well, at what point in his life would you say he could capitalize off of that?
Right now.
Thank you. Right now. Because you know what? On NBA draft boards, Cassius Winston is nowhere to be found. He is not a first-round NBA draft pick this summer. He is not a second-round NBA draft pick. A lot of that has to do with the fact that Cassius, the NBA is all about potential, right? That's what you hear a lot when discussing any pro draft, the potential. His measurements aren't off the chain. He's small. He's not real fast. He's not really athletic. That's the big reason why you're not seeing Cassius Winston on the NBA draft board.
And so, it's a pretty heavy guard class, too.
It is a very heavy guard class. That's very true as well. But for me, I think that's the biggest reason. When you look at Cassius, he just doesn't physically look like he can hold his own in the NBA. But he is so smart. I think he can play in the NBA because he's so darn smart. Put that conversation aside just for a moment. So the fact that he is not on the NBA draft board at all, I mean, right now, time is wasting when it comes to potential profits for Cassius Winston. I mean, heck, I'm sure when that camera pans around U.S. Bank Stadium tomorrow night and it goes to the Michigan State section of the arena, you're going to see some people rocking Michigan State number 5 jerseys. Now, it may not have the Winston name on the back of that jersey, but you know why people are wearing a number 5 Michigan State men's basketball jersey. Is to give a shout out to Cassius Winston. And he's not seeing a dime. Fair, I think not. Cassius Winston could be profiting right now when his name arguably is going to be at its highest earning potential. That time is wasting. He could be signing autographs for $5 a pop. I'm sure many of you out there would pay $5 to get the autograph of one of the greatest point guards in Michigan State men's basketball history. I'm sure many of you right now would gladly pay money that you feel should justly be given to Cassius Winston after buying a number 5 Michigan State men's basketball jersey. It just irks me. You know, you're going to hear about the amount of money that's thrown around in the tournament. You're going to hear that. There's going to be segments on that. There's multiple people betting on the Final Four as we speak. And the players see none of it. So, in many regards, it's not when you make the argument that college athletes need to be paid. Using the big names who are already going to get paid once they do make that leap to the NBA, that's probably not the best argument. The best argument is for the great college player who is ripping it up right now in college hoops, who isn't that highly acclaimed in the eyes of NBA scouts and execs and coaches. Another name I could probably bring up is what? Carson Edwards. That's another player. Carson Edwards right now, he is projected to go, but he'll probably be like a late second round pick because he's undersized as well. Size, right? Size. Even though he did tear it up in college hoops. You think Carson Edwards could be doing a local car commercial out in Indiana somewhere? Or again, you know, profiting off of his jersey or signing autographs. They are local celebrities and are just being exploited. All right, I'm getting off my soapbox. Continuous thoughts on Michigan State and Texas Tech. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back, I want to play a few sound bites from Final Four Media Day, and we'll also have Johnny Lewis on the show for another edition of Fit Fridays. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Right now, before we get to another edition of Fit Fridays with Johnny Lewis, I want to throw to a few sound bites here that came from Final Four Media Day. A really fun day as you film all of the promos that you'll see when the introductions for the starting lineup come across the screen. And, you know, Tom Izzo was made available to the media. Michigan State's players also were made available to the media. Just a really fun day to embrace the excitement of the Final Four. Here is Tom Izzo on the Final Four.
We feel fortunate to be here, and yet we think we've earned our way to be here. And Texas Tech is a, you know, we kind of clone each other in some ways. And yet I think Chris has done a great job with his team. We're both disciples, you know, with Bob Knight and Judd Heathcote. And those two guys were best friends. Chris and I are getting to know each other. But great respect for what he's done and how he's done it. and of course for a couple of his players that are of the elite nature. And yet I'm really proud of what my team has accomplished, meaning the way we've reinvented ourselves a few times and kind of stuck to the task and found a way to get to a Final Four. Not, no better thrill than this.
Awesome stuff. Again, Tom Izzo discussing or elaborating on what it's like to be in Minneapolis for the Final Four. All right, Chris Beard on Michigan State.
Head toward the front.
Enjoy life. I mean, we're going to enjoy the ride. It's who we are. But when it's time to play, it's time to play. And when it's time to practice, it's time to practice. So we just got a two-part mission here. Smell the roses, but also be us. Yeah. And McQuaid's special. He's gotten better over his college career, which is a direct relationship with the Michigan State program. And their players develop, you know, if they get a five-star, he's a five-and-a-half-star 6 months later. And if Coach gets a four-star, they're in the NBA 2 years later. I mean, just Michigan State players get better. You know, in terms of Michigan State, this is the pinnacle of that. Coach Izzo, he's, to me, he's everything I've always kind of wanted to be.
Yeah, Chris Beard, who, correct me if I'm wrong, is from the coaching tree of Bobby Knight. I believe so. This will be a fun game. Texas Tech and Michigan State, a defensive battle. Yeah, you're shaking your head. So he is from the coaching tree of Bob Knight. Awesome stuff. Chris Beard, I respect that dude a lot, and I respect what he's done in the 3 years he's been at Texas Tech. Awesome stuff. All right, Tony Bennett. Isn't it amazing that Virginia just a year ago was eliminated in the first round of the NCAA tournament? The biggest upset loss in NCAA tournament history. A one seed falling to a 16 seed, and now Virginia is in the Final Four. Here is Tony Bennett on that loss to UMBC last year.
From a basketball standpoint, that was such a pivotal moment and devastating in so many ways and humbling that I knew we had to be there for each other in ways that we never would have had that not happened. So it was about sitting together, talking, and just working through stuff and battling through it and trusting each other. And as I said, that situation made me take a look at a lot of things. I said, there's no way I would have gotten this close to my team in that way. I even, you know, it drew me closer to my family, to my faith. That those situations put you in that, but also, okay, what can we do to be better in certain situations as a team?
Again, Tony Bennett discussing, you know, that incredible upset loss at the hands of UMBC and what it's like to now be in the Final Four, shaking off that adversity of last season and now going to many. Pretty awesome stuff. And last but not least, Bruce Pearl, head coach of Auburn, discussing the importance of his staff.
Working together is important, but also I think just, look, letting your experts be experts. In other words, I'm not going to teach the kids how to shoot. I'm going to let Marquise Daniels or Ira Bowman or Wes Flanagan do that. You know, Stephen Pearl's not going to teach him how to shoot, okay? But if you want to learn how to defend and you want to learn how to rebound and you want to understand my system, Stephen would be a great guy to go to. In other words, take the guys, put them in their positions to be successful, have them go to their go-to moves as coaches, as staff, just like players.
And we just want to pop you off.
Royce, it's sweating time.
That was the pre-warmer to get you ready for the warmer, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press, a basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in.
But don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute abs, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
All right, you hear the intro. That means we're coming up on the end of your Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, ending it with a bang as always as we invite the founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Lewis, to the show for another edition of Fit Fridays. And Johnny, before we dive into your healthy tips of the week, you hear in the background, you know, what's playing. That's an instrumental from the album Victory Lap by the late, great Nipsey Hussle. And this is a death that has really affected so many. I know it's really had an impact on me, and I can't stop thinking about it. I've been listening to the album nonstop. I know you're a big Nipsey fan. You actually put me on Nipsey Hussle. So before we dive into that, man, just any thoughts on the passing of Nipsey? Because it certainly has also had a ripple effect in the sports community as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's up, Al? I definitely wanted to pay respect to Nipsey. He motivated me every day. As you know, Hustle and Motivate was the intro to our fifth segment here. And I just want to pay respect to a great man that was very motivating, very inspirational, a great community leader. And that was a tough loss we took. So definitely want to respect him. And the crazy thing is, it was right after the big win for Michigan State. So it was kind of like a weird day, because on one end, we were happy that we won, but then that news came right after. So, it's a tragedy, but we just got to look at the great that he has done when he was here, you know?
Certainly, man. And yeah, it hit me like a ton of bricks, man, right after I'm posting all this content from MSU booking a trip to the Final Four, and you see that. So and next week, I want to have you on during the week next week, because I want to talk about how that death has really affected the sports community and what it means when it comes to giving back to our community as well. So we'll have further talks on that later on. But with 5 minutes left here, okay, Johnny, sure. I know we're coming short on time here. I just want you to just dive into your Fit Friday segment, starting with the importance in routine.
Oh, yeah, I'll keep it real brief, Al. I just want to, because I always talk about workout whenever, but that's like what I do, because, you know, fitness is always on the forefront of my mind. But for most people, I think it's better to stick with a routine. When you stick with a routine, it becomes more of an obligation, opposed to just going anytime you have time. You know, when you have a routine, it's like, oh, well, I have to work out at this time, so I have to set the rest of my schedule around this. You know, it becomes more of a priority. So I want to compare it to, like, practice. You know, you can't miss practice. Practice is after school or after work or whenever you, you know, if you were to play sports, you know, for those of you who play sports in the past. But, you know, just make it as a priority and have a set time to go. That way it's, like I said, more of an obligation. And it can really help with consistency. That way you're, you know, getting it in instead of taking days off, you know.
Definitely. Those are all great points, because if you don't have a routine, it's kind of hard to just get in that flow of going to the gym in general, right?
Exactly. And I'm just going to go right into the healthy food of the day, because I'm excited about this one. It's getting really, really hot outside, especially out here in Arizona. And I know in Michigan it's not quite as hot yet. It's still spring out there. We get summer a little bit early out here.
But, right.
The healthy tip of the day is to try avocado ice cream.
Okay.
So,
and why is that? What are the health benefits of avocado ice cream, Johnny?
So it's a healthy alternative. I like to say that, because it's not necessarily a healthy meal that you want to eat every day, but compared to regular ice cream, it's very healthy. It may still be high in calories, because avocado obviously is a fat, but it's a healthy fat. That means it's an unsaturated fat, opposed to the saturated fat that's in regular ice cream. It's a higher nutrient to calorie ratio. It's very tasty. I've only had it once, and it was a store brand, but I am going to try to make it myself probably this weekend. So I'm just going to list the ingredients real quick. This is a healthy one I found online. It's the avocado, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1.5 cup of coconut milk, 1/2 cup of sugar, and 3 tablespoons of maple syrup, and 1 banana. There's very different ingredients. There's so many different ways to make it, but this was the healthiest list of ingredients I can find. And I'll definitely send you the link to this recipe, so you can post it under the comments or whatever. But definitely a healthy alternative compared to regular ice cream.
That is awesome, Johnny. That sounds really, really good. All right, man. Well, that sounds good. You can make some avocado ice cream while sitting back and watching Michigan State and Texas Tech tomorrow night, right?
Oh, yeah, because avocado is green and we going green, baby.
I love it. You want to give us a score prediction, man. What do you think that will be the final score tomorrow night? Real quick, Johnny.
Score predictions. I don't know. I'm going to say, 66 to 60. I don't know. Maybe a lower scoring game, but
that's not bad. No, that's a really good prediction. 66-60. So a 6-point win for Michigan State.
Oh, yeah, Michigan State. I'm going Michigan State all the way. Let's beat Texas Tech. Go green. Cassius Winston about to do his thing. very smart player. Great basketball IQ. And I think we're going to take this dub and go all the way.
All right. Only time will tell. Johnny, thank you so much for your time, man. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Thank you so much, Al. Stay blessed.
Always stay blessed, man. Okay. 90 seconds left. As we come to the close of this week's Current Sports. So just to give you guys an update on what's going to happen, again, Jack and I will be hitting the road to Minneapolis tomorrow morning. And Connor, you'll be in engineering the show on Monday. So if they win on Saturday night, we'll be doing the show from the hotel room with you engineering back here, okay? That'll be interesting. That should be a fun show. And of course, if they lose, we'll be back here on Monday in Studio S live to recap everything that happened in that game, Michigan State versus Texas Tech. But I know, Spartan fans, you don't even want to think about that, okay? So hopefully I'm doing the show from my hotel room on Monday.
Any reverse jinxes you want to put on the team or any other teams before this weekend comes about? Because we can't have another Purdue incident.
Well, I tell you what, every time I've doubted Michigan State, they've proven me wrong. So I'm going to go Texas Tech is going to win this game. How about that? I'm going to say that. Texas Tech is going to beat Michigan State. Only reason I'm saying it is because I have been so wrong this whole tournament, okay? So reverse psychology, right?
Save
there.
All your tweets until after the game, after the buzzer sounds. We don't need any bad juju, Al.
That's true. That is true. In part, when it comes to Purdue and Virginia in defense, I was streaming the game and I had a delay, so I thought it was over. So, all right, folks. We'll see you Monday. Michigan State, Texas Tech. Enjoy the game. Happy Final Four. Be easy, people.